If you haven't already, you can turn to the book of 1 John. And by God's plan and providence, we come to a portion as we look at love, love for one another, and love from the Father. And as I was thinking about even next week as we honor and celebrate Father's Day, this is a very fitting text. We will read the kind of the full portion, verses 7 through 14, but we're going to look at 7 through 11 this morning and look at John's address to the children, to the young men, and to the fathers next Sunday. This morning is about loving one another. Although it's titled by John, A New Commandment. And so let us look at God's word as we see this new commandment given to us, which John calls new and John calls old. And I hope we will bring clarity to what this might be. But again, I hope I'm not sounding like a broken record, even though I probably am. We're still looking as John begins this beginning of the book. What does it mean to have fellowship with God and others? What are the evidences, the tests, that we can be assured that we have fellowship with God first and foremost, but that we also can have fellowship with others in the body of Christ? And as John began, it started with Christ. And it started with understanding the real Jesus. At this time in the history of John, knowledge and discussion was happening where what you knew and human intellect was becoming the ultimate reality. It was the highest authority. And maybe it was the beginnings in John's day, but it would turn into what we would call Gnosticism. This idea that knowledge was everything, knowledge was supreme, studying and becoming intellectual and sitting down and having conversations, that was the goal, to know as much as you could possibly know. And as some have even quoted, to know thyself very well was a goal and a peak of such knowledge. But we see that to know God, to know His Son Jesus Christ, is the ultimate thing. We have also looked at another mark or test of having fellowship with God is confession. This idea of fellowship with God, walking in the light, both of them very similar in their understanding. To have fellowship with God, you must be walking in the light. And that light is in connection with the Son, Jesus Christ, who in John chapter 1 said, I am the light, the true light that has come into the world. So to walk in the light is to walk with Jesus as our new identity. We are no longer slaves to sin, no longer living in darkness, no longer whatever, tag yourself with whatever label you might tag. That is no longer you. But in Jesus Christ, you are a new creation. You are living in light. So we looked at this idea of light and darkness, of confession versus the non-confession of just even saying, I never sin. Or I didn't sin this week. Or I can't remember the sin, so I'm just not going to think about it. But actually, a great reformer in the 15th century, well, 16th century, in the early 1500s, wrote the 99 Theses, Martin Luther, and said, all of life is one of repentance, confession. To know that you are a believer, to have a test or an evidence of it, is that you confess of sin to God. And I kind of miss this, but In verse 7 of the beginning chapter, it also says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And sometimes this fellowship with one another comes with confession to one another. To walk in the light with others around you. To confess with others around you. And some of you have done so. You have found the church and the grace that God extends through the church in your confession to be part of your healing. That you have come and said, I can't take this burden by myself anymore. I have to share it. I have to ask for prayer. I have to seek others. And I pray that you have found grace in seeking others. Confession. Last week we looked also in a test or evidence is this new desire within us to listen and obey to the Lord's commands. To actually do what he says and to believe in your heart that what Jesus says is good and right and perfect. The Ten Commandments, as Jesus summed up, can be summed into two things: to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. And he continues this conversation of commandments here in verse 7 through 14. We'll read and look at four points. Beloved, verse 7, John opens up again, the ones I love, this term of endearment to the church. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Let's pray real quick. Lord, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this man, John, a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ, who was turned into someone who just wanted to cast judgment and declare things the way he saw it, maybe had an edge of bitterness or anger towards certain groups and people, and yet by walking with his Savior, Jesus Christ, we now know him as the Apostle of Love. The apostle who penned this book, 1 John, and couldn't get very far away from talking about the love of God and the love for others. Lord, may we encounter this kind of love as we look through this book, and may we see a God who calls us to love others as he has loved us. Lord, may I be willing to confess, to turn, and to pursue these kind of paths that you call me to not seek self-interests, but to sacrifice, to not love self, but to love my brothers and sisters in the Lord and to love the world. with a love that reflects you. Lord, we can only do this in your strength. We can only do this through you. Lord, use your Spirit to embolden us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's just four things. Love is an old commandment. Love is a new commandment. And as we know, love is the greatest commandment. And love is an overcoming commandment. It's an old commandment because John begins by saying, I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. And of course, in verse 8, for some reason, he also says at the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you. So we need to unpack this a little bit. Why does Paul or does John speak of an old commandment and then call the same thing a new commandment? And some might believe that this old commandment is understood to go back to the beginning, to Genesis, to the nature of God, that God is love, as we see in this book, and that he, in the beginning, created a garden and created us and desired fellowship with us. He had perfect love with the Son and with the Spirit, and he wanted to invite us into that relationship, that love. Some say maybe this love started then. This is that old commandment. Well, we also know, though, from Old Testament scriptures, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, Leviticus 19:18. Both of those begin by saying, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. The Lord, he is God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. When Jesus declared that in Matthew 22 and other parts of the Gospels, he wasn't really saying something new. He was saying something from his Father that was old, from the law itself, from the commandments. You want to know the heart of the Old Testament commandments, the heart of the Old Testament God? It was love. We might fill in the blank with other things. Well, that Old Testament God is... But he wrote his Ten Commandments, and the heart of that was love the Lord your God. That's why he said, do not have any other gods before me. Do not curse God with your tongue. Do not create any other images other than myself. All five of those first 10 are focused on God. And then Leviticus 19:18, as the next five starts out, those 10 commandments, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, it's possible that John is referring to this Old Testament teaching, the teaching that would have been a part of the Jewish context. But he's writing to churches in Turkey, most likely, in the Ephesian area, kind of western Turkey along the coast. He's writing to the seven churches that we know in Revelation, that John also addresses the same. So this wasn't just to a Jewish community, this was to all. So what could he be meaning also when he says, I'm not writing you something new, but something old? Well, he says there, the old commandment is the word that you have heard. And we know who the word is. That word was the word, the Logos, Jesus Christ, who came and showed us who God was. And that word of love one another came through the mouth of the Son of God himself. When in Matthew 22:37 and other gospels, when that man addresses and asks him the question, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? What is the most important thing I need to be doing? What is number one? He was maybe trying to trick him. He maybe was sincere. He had both of those kinds of people addressing him all the time. Tell me, what's the most important? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus repeats the heart of God, the Ten Commandments summed up in those two statements. And so I believe this is what John is referring to. You have heard this from the beginning of your own Christian story. This is the call that Jesus gives to all. You are to love God. You are to turn from sin. Confess it. Find God to be satisfying, perfect, holy, and also the God who forgives and has extended grace and mercy to each one of us. That kind of God who has loved us first, as 1 John chapter 4 says, we respond in loving him. All the commandments are summed up. So this is the commandments you have heard. I guess I want to ask you a question. Sometimes, and I just had this conversation today, we fill up the Christian life with so many extra added, and not wrong things, but things that distract us from the simplicity of the good news. Sometimes we need to tell ourselves the simple gospel that God loved us. And actually, that is what our world needs to hear right now. That there is one who created you, who knows you better than you know yourself. And he loves you. Honestly, when people talk to me and they ask me, or even they're trying to maybe talk about another spiritual issue or stump me, or they're really genuinely seeking and they have a question, I want them to know that there's a God who has made them and a God who loves them. To get people back to the simplicity of the good news, that in his love, he died on their behalf. He died for me. He stood in my place. John maybe wants us to get back to this simple message that God has loved us. And because of that, we are called to love God. And in our love for God, he fills us to love others with that same love. And sometimes we're not filled, but we're called to love even the enemy, as Jesus said. He declared in the Gospels, you have heard it said to hate your enemies. And this same word for hate is the word being used here by John in this section, verse 9. Whoever hates his brothers. You have heard it said, you can hate your enemies. But what did Jesus say? Love. This same word, agape love, that you would actually give of your life for an enemy. I say that with my words, but could I love in that fashion? This agape love is sacrificial friendship, going beyond, thinking of the other instead of myself. This is the love that Jesus taught. I was doing a search on this word agape, and in almost all of Jesus' teachings in the gospel, when he calls us to love, it's not this phileo, this, you know, from where we get, from where we get Philadelphia, this brotherly love, this, yeah, you're my brother, you're cool, we'll do something together, we'll go to the range together, we'll go fishing together. It's just more than just this, yeah, you're my I don't want to use the modern lingo. There's all kinds of lingo for that. That's phileo love, or this romantic love, this eros. It's not that. It's the agape, the sacrificial, the friendship, the marriage bond kind of love, the giving of yourself for the other person. Jesus showed us agape love strongly. He did. He laid down his life for his friends, as John 15 says. I better keep moving. It's not just an old commandment, though, but it's a new commandment. Why would John say this is a new commandment? Well, he's saying new, not in, you've never heard this, it's a new type or a new item, but it's new in its quality, in how it's displayed, in how we've come to know this commandment. And that is true because when Jesus came to the scene, this idea of loving one another, of loving God, blew everyone out of the water. They got to see what that looked like. They got to see what loving God and loving others looked like in the person of Jesus Christ. This is why John says, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him. That truth in him is the true in Jesus Christ. And it is true in you, that you also have now been given the Spirit of God to love as your example, your Savior Jesus Christ loved. You can have a heart for the person who gets overlooked. You can have the heart to see through, who knows, the activity or the finances or the home or the clothes or whatever, and you see the person as Jesus saw them. You can love that person as Jesus would reach out and love others. It's a new thing because Jesus has brought about a new desire and ability. He has sent his Spirit for those of us who've trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. Everything is new. And we now have a new ability to go and love one another, even as Christ has loved us. He has sent us out to love each other. It's not just new, but it's powerful. This new love, which is actually an old commandment, but now new because of what Jesus has done, this is what has happened. Look at the end of verse 8. The darkness is presently, currently, right this second, passing away. That's what the verb means. It's presently diminishing. The darkness is passing away. Praise the Lord. And the true light is already shining. And this verb is present as well. It continues to shine. It will never stop shining. And we know who that true light is. The simple message of loving one another is made possible for us through what Jesus Christ has done. Verse 9 says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. And this is the main question for us today. This idea of hating another is to desire to be as far away, to break fellowship, to remove, to ignore, to not associate with. to disdain even. And the question for you, I pray, will give you assurance or make things clear in your heart when we are here with fellow believers. Is your heart a disdain for the brothers and sisters, or a deep concern, a deep love, a willingness to go beyond yourself to reach out? This is not a message of, do you have perfect love for one another? Because I'll tell you right now, if I preach that, I'm being a hypocrite. I certainly cannot say that myself. But I had to think about this passage this week. Has God given me a new love, a new commandment, a new concern for the church, for the brothers and sisters in the Lord? Even a love, as Jesus said, not for your family, not for the ones that are here that you know, or that you've known for a long time, but even, he says, for the neighbor that you don't know. And he goes a step further, and for the enemy that maybe you don't want to talk with, you disdain, you look down upon. Jesus even said, that same love you must have for your enemies. But the question this morning, has that new love come inside of you? A concern for your brother, for your sister, a concern for those who don't know Jesus Christ, that they would be in the family, that their eyes would be opened, that God would draw them to see the light, which John continues to talk about. For if one hates his brother, John says, he is still in darkness. He hasn't understood the true light and what Jesus has come to accomplish. God did not come to change our behavior alone, but he first came to change our hearts. And this is a hard message because we have to say, do my actions match up with my heart? And do my actions match up with what I say? Has my heart been changed? And when we see a changed heart, we see new desires, new behaviors, new fruit. As we looked at last time, that the tree is known by its fruit. When we have been changed by Christ, new things occur, new things happen, new loves begin. We might have that story where we laughed and scorned and mocked our Christian friend or our Christian family member. We even disassociated ourselves with them. And God radically changed our heart, and something new began. A new bond, a new fellowship. A new spirit was within us. Those old hatreds have been replaced with loves. Verse 10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Love conquers. Love wins, as that popular title is, but it is true. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, the great love chapter, now abide these three: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. When the man came to Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus turned to love. When John wants to show the church who is God, he tells them he is light. And the only other phrase in 1 John that tells us of the nature of God is God is love. Love is the greatest measure of the nature of God. It breaks all barriers. It changes who we are when we love one another. It changes friendships. It changes marriages. It changes the church. It changes the impact we have in Pleasant Hill and Dexter and Lowell and Cresswell and all other areas when we love, when we sacrifice, when we think of what do they need, not what do I need. And I'm speaking this to myself as much as to all of you. It all comes down to love. For the greatest example of love was Christ on the cross. Love is the greatest commandment. It's an old commandment. It's a new commandment. It's the greatest commandment. And fourth, it is the conquering or overcoming commandment. For if one loves his brother, he abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, and he doesn't know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. He has not overcome. He is still in his darkness. And that is why we as a church can invade that darkness with the message of love. A message that love is found in a person. There is lots of discussion. You Google, what is love? I don't even know how many hit points you'll get on Google. But you can have as myriad and myriads of answers as you want about definitions of love. Movies write about love. Some of the best stories are involved with love and sacrifice. But all of those point to the greatest picture of love. It's not in a book. It's not in a movie. It's not in the feelings, it's in a person. Jesus is the definition of love. And when we come to him, we learn what love looks like. We learn how to love our friends, how to love our spouses, how to love our neighbors, how to love our enemies. And as we're going to see next time, because this word comes up, love overcomes. And the truth is, the love of Christ has overcome the darkness. Death did not keep Jesus Christ on the cross. Sin could not hold him there. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, sin, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? Don't want to misquote that. But death has been put to shame. Sin has been defeated. Satan can only do what he is allowed to do. He is a defeated foe. And one day he will receive his judgment as well. Christ and his love has overcome all things. And you know what? This love that we can show others, this is why for myself, I'm saying, Lord, use this book of 1 John to teach me how to love like Christ loved, to teach me what love is, to even rebuke me when I don't love in that way, because love breaks all barriers. We see that through Jesus Christ. His love on the cross, his sacrificial love, broke every other barrier there was. He would cross divides. He would cross barriers and boundaries that he was not supposed to cross. He didn't care about race, about status, about poor and rich, lowly and high, one nationality, another nationality. He broke through that all. And he shows us that is what love can do. This love is an old foundational commandment. It is new because of Jesus Christ. It is the ultimate commandment. It's the greatest of them all. And it has won. Love is victorious. Maybe this morning our prayer as we go out is, Lord, I need to love that individual. Lord, I need to love my spouse. Lord, I need to love my kids. You fill in the blank. I need to be filled first with the love that you have shown me. And when we see his love, we can go out with that same love to others. What is the key to fellowship with God? Walking in the light. What is the commandment of walking in the light? To love God and love others. That's our call. Myself, all of us that are in Jesus Christ. And if there is someone in this room who has not seen and turned to Jesus Christ, look at the love he has shown you, and he shows you even today. He says, today is not too late. Today can be a day of salvation. Today you can turn and come into my love, and I will love you forever. That's the good news of the gospel. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you are the God who even as you stated in the Old Testament, merciful, full of compassion, who forgives, who is gracious, and has within yourself a heart of sacrificial love. Lord, we so often are willing to sacrifice other things so that we ourselves can be loved. And Lord, that path is not a path of joy, but it's a path of frustration. Father, turn our feet around to see the joy that comes in serving the other, in serving our spouse, in serving our kids, in serving our brothers and sisters in the Lord. So today, maybe we need to start with confession. Maybe we need to start with rejoicing in your love. However we need to begin, may Pleasant Hill Baptist Church be known for its love and its grace that comes from you and can go out to our neighbors and to the world and even to our enemies. Father, thank you that you first loved us. And you did that through your precious Son. In Jesus' name, amen.